how good it is to gather together to study the Word of God. We've been fed in worship. Now let's look to the Word of God to be fed of God through His Word. The book of Exodus chapter 14. We continue our epic journey today. Exodus chapter 14. The people believed. Exodus chapter 14. The people believed. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 1 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and he overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in this wilderness. Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever." Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, that we may go to and learn of you, that through the study of your word we may grow. And now, Lord, I pray that you would take your word and implant it into our hearts. Give us understanding, Lord, that we may know you better, that we may mature in you and be made better servants for you. Lord, we pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd begin to convict them even now of the great love wherein you have loved them and the sacrifice that you made on their behalf. And I pray that today will be the day they commit their life to you. We pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's talk about, we're on an epic journey. The idea behind this study is that we're different. We're somewhere else when we get finished than we were when we started. Let's look today. I want us to look at where we are in this journey. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, God said, "I will take you as my people," and he's talking to Israel. "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." The goal of this entire study is that Israel become God's people, and God become Israel's God. That's the design of all the travels and everything from this point forward is that Israel would become a people of God, and God would become the God of Israel. Now, I want you to understand, that sounds pretty simple, but understand this. Israel knew how to be a slave. They knew how to live as slaves to the Egyptians. They knew how to build the cities of Pharaoh. They knew how to endure the abuse of their taskmasters. They knew how to live in misery of slavery. But they did not know, and get this, they did not know how to be servants of the Most High God. They didn't know. They did not know what it meant to be servants of the Most High God. So God's going to spend the rest of this book of Exodus teaching them. This is supposed to be an education. As a matter of fact, they're slow learners. And they wind up in remedial training. They have to stay after school. And they spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness because they didn't learn. They refused to learn along the way. You know, we're not that different than Israel at that time. We face the same challenges. We on our journey with the Lord begins when we're saved. However, that's not the end of the journey. That is the beginning of the journey. So many people get saved and their attitude is, oh, I'm all right, it's okay, and I'm going to heaven now and I don't have to worry about anything else. No, no, no. You're missing the boat. You're saved. When you call upon Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. But then, you see, you know how to be a sinner up to that point. You know how to be a slave to the sin of the world, and you know how to live in the world, but you don't know how to be a people of God. And it's from that point of salvation on that you learn how to be a person of God. One who serves and worships the Most High God of all. We learn how to walk with God. We learn how to trust God. We learn how to have faith in God. We learn what it means to be a people of God. So we're not that different. So as we go forward in this study, I want you to take this study just like God is teaching you. Because He is, in fact, teaching you through the actions and the lives of the children of Israel. And today we begin our educational journey in learning to be a people of God. And we start with going from daring to doubt. Now, I would encourage you, we didn't read this entire chapter for the interest of time, but I would encourage you this afternoon when you're at home to just read through this 14th chapter so you don't miss anything. But Israel, at this point, they've left control of the Egyptians. They've left the slavery of the Egyptians. God has instructed them to camp by the sea, so their backs to the sea. And it says in verse 8, I didn't put verse 8 in there. But it says in verse 8, okay, the last part of that verse, it says Israel went out with boldness. I want you to get their attitude. And it's talking about their attitude, their mentality, okay? They're like, we are free from Egypt. We don't have to deal with their abuse anymore. We're going to go where we're going to want to go. We're going to do what we want to do. There's nothing that Egypt can do about it at this point. You see, they're all confident, all courageous. But then Egypt has not officially released them from slavery. Pharaoh, all he said is, you can go worship. Go worship your God. And now Pharaoh, here a word is brought back to Pharaoh that the children of Israel are leaving. They're running. And so Pharaoh says, what have we done? We've let them go. We're going to go get them. We're going to go get them back. So Pharaoh gathers his army. He gathers his best chariots, his best soldiers, and he comes after them to take them back into captivity. And then Israel's demeanor immediately changes. It says Israel was very afraid and cries out to the Lord. It's that moment in time when everything goes from all is well, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, my needs are met, to what are we going to do? You ever been there? Life's good and all of a sudden it's like you fell off a cliff. Everything's wrong, everything's bad, we're in big trouble now. The moment of absolute helpless, and I want you to notice the attitude change of Israel. They went from going in and going out bold and with confidence and courage. They went from that to absolute terror. And there was a change in their attitude. Now, instead of being supportive to Moses, they tell Moses, "You've taken us away to die in this wilderness. We told you to leave us alone, Moses. It's all your fault. You brought us here. Now we're going to die. And it's all on you, Moses." Really? That quick? We're camped on the Red Sea and filled with confidence. And we go in a moment's notice from boldness to absolute terror and blame. Let me give you this. Here's the good part. Courage is not real until it's challenged. Have you ever known the bully? The bully that was so tough until somebody stood up to him and found out he wasn't all that tough? Well, you know, Christianity is somewhat like, we can talk about, oh, we love the Lord. We can talk about how we love the Lord's churches. We can talk about how we want to serve the Lord. But when push comes to shove, you don't really know how courageous you are until your courage is challenged. It's easy to be brave when there's no challenge. And I want you to understand, when you commit your life to Christ, and you're filled with that feeling of, I'm going to heaven. Do you remember that? Say amen if you remember that. I remember what it felt like when I called upon the Lord. And I was just filled with, it's like the world was okay. Life was good. It was going to be all right because I was going to heaven. The problem is that not long after that, old Satan comes challenging. And he tries to drag you back into the slavery of the sin that you knew before. And it takes a little bit of courage to take your stand and say, no, I'm not going that direction. And many, when it comes to that point, when you go from absolute well-being to absolute terror because you've been challenged, many will blame. Well, it wasn't my fault. That's just life dealt me this card. My parents were not good to me. The preacher's fault. It's the deacon's fault. It's the Bible study teacher's fault. And things aren't going right. It's always somebody's... That's a sign of immaturity. I figured out it doesn't matter whose fault it is. Yeah, my dad used to tell me, son, you can get in a wreck. It don't matter whose fault it is. You've still been in the wreck. Okay? That doesn't help at all. That's a sign of immaturity by just saying, well, it's their fault. And blaming. Many will criticize, like Israel did. I knew we shouldn't have followed Moses out here in this wilderness. I told you so. That's a sign of immaturity. Grab this idea today, okay? Challenges do not change who you are in God. Challenges simply reveal who you really are in God. Does that make sense? Okay? When your faith is challenged, when it's tough, don't lay down and cry. I want to give you some truths you can count on. Okay? Truth number one. When you're facing the impossible, you're challenged, you're pushed to the very limit, you don't know what you're going to do. Truth number one. God is not surprised. He knew what was coming. You may be surprised, but God knew what was coming. Second truth. God is in control. Did you notice God is, when you read this entire chapter, you see that God has orchestrated this event. He's the one that's hardened Pharaoh's heart. He's the one that's setting things like they are. And the reason he's doing this is so that when it's all said and done, Egypt will know that he is God and that he will get the glory. Okay? That's the whole purpose. God is in control at this point. It doesn't matter what the challenge is. God's still God. Then finally, God has a plan. You read this entire chapter, this is what I'm going to do. God had it all laid out. He had it all planned that Egypt was going to chase after Israel, and that he was going to destroy the Egyptian army, and that he was going to deliver his children. He had it all planned. Listen, challenges to your faith are not meant to kill your faith. Challenges to your faith are meant to build your faith in the mighty God that you serve. Okay? And that takes us from going from doubt to dependence. Verse 13 and 14. Let's see. Yes, I put those in there. Good. Verses 13 and 14 of the text. And Moses said to the people, here's the battle plan, y'all. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Stand. Here's the battle plan. You ready? I'm going to tell you the most brilliant battle plan. They've got their back to the sea. They're facing the Egyptian army. And the army that's well trained and they're well groomed for fighting. They're about to descend on them and just wipe them completely out. And here's your battle plan. Stand still and see. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great. I love Moses. The way he presented it. Don't be afraid. Has anybody ever told you, don't worry? Did it help? Don't worry. It'll be all right. Really? That I feel better now. I've had people tell me that. You know, sometimes as a preacher, in counseling folks, I've wanted to tell them that, but I realize how silly that is. That's not going to make them feel better. Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here's the idea behind this statement. You're in an impossible situation. So what you've got to do is you've just got to stand your ground and watch God work. See, sometimes there are impossible situations that we cannot win the battle of ourselves. And apart from divine intervention, we're not going to make it through. That's where Israel was at this point. Let me offer you this. I want to give you three options when facing these challenges. Option number one. Run! Get out! Run! Go! I mean, that is... You hear people all the time, you know. just leave! Get out! I don't want to deal with this anymore. I mean, people do it in marriage. When marriage gets difficult in our society, what do people do? Get out. I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm leaving. I'm going back to mom and dad. Y'all know why Beth never went back to her mom and dad? Because her daddy told her, don't you come back once you leave. That's one thing about marrying a preacher's daughter. There are no exchanges and no returns. I'm glad she stayed, though. But you know how quick we are to run when things get impossible. We can stand and fight when things get impossible. But understand, remember this, okay? If you're going to stand and fight, you better be led of the Lord to fight. There will come a time in this study that we'll read how God gives Israel directions. You go into these cities, here's how you fight, here's what you do, and you do it. If you stand and fight, you make sure you're under the direction of God. Sometimes we get, you know, direction of God, as I've found, has never been, I'm not going to take this anymore. We're going toe to toe. You've done me wrong. Let's throw down. No. You know, most church fights are something like that. That's the one thing I appreciate at Victory. We don't argue over carpet color. Or we hadn't in the last 3 years anyway. Now there may be a time when you have to take a stand against false doctrine. You take that stand And you fight, you hold your ground tooth and nail for the truth of the Word of God. Absolutely. But don't just fight because you're short-tempered. Because somebody's not done you what you would consider to be right. Don't be too quick to take up the sword. Third thing. Third option, and especially in impossible situations, here's what you do. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, this was a situation that was beyond their control. If God didn't intervene, there was no hope. Okay? They knew how to be slaves. They didn't know how to be soldiers. They hadn't come to that point yet. Their only hope now is if God does something. So all they can do is pray and back up and watch what God does. You ever been in that position? It's like David and Goliath time. David, you know, I love the story of David and Goliath. You see this kid who faced the giant with a sling and hit him in the head with a rock and wound up cutting his head off and killed him. You know, it wasn't because David was really good. It was because God was awesome that David won that battle. Okay? And if you read that story, never does David say, look what I did. Even going into it, he said, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the bear and the lion, and the same God will deliver me out of the hand of that giant. You know, it was God. We have to learn sometimes just to stand still and watch what God does. You see, He's much better at it than we are. He's much more powerful at it than we are. And we're really good at making a mess, but God is really good at fixing things and setting things right. That's where we go from doubt to dependence. I love the scripture, Psalms 46:10. We use it quite regularly. And be still and know that I am God. And you know, we have the idea that that means go in your closet and close the door and just sit there for a little meditation time and let God speak to you. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about situations when life is overwhelming. Situations when you don't know where you're going to go next and you don't know how you're going to get through this. And if God doesn't do something, we're in big trouble. That's when you know it's time to be still and know that I'm God. It's time to be still that God will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, when it's impossible, that's when it's awesome to watch what God does. That's when Christianity, that's when our faith gets good, when we back up and say, I can't do anything, and then we back up and watch as God intervenes. Has God ever intervened in your life? When you didn't know how you were going to pay that electric bill? When the marriage got rocky and you just didn't have any more strength within you? We need to remember, perhaps even be first on our list of learning about God. We need to know how to just to back up and watch what God does. Like I say, too often we try to fix it ourselves and make a mess. When all the time God says, I'm God. I've got this. Have you ever been praying and just like, you know, that still small voice speaks to you and says, I've got this. Well, you said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. My kids are out of control. And that still small voice says, I've got this. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sick. I'm bad sick, Lord. And if you don't do something, they say that I'm not going to last very long. And you say, I've got this. And then you back up and you watch the mighty hand of God. You see, the idea there is not just about deliverance. The idea is about building faith. Okay? It's about building faith. And that's what happened. Dependence, their dependence, after they turned to God, they're looking for God's deliverance. Their dependence led to their deliverance because they did see the mighty hand of God. The Lord, if you read the rest of that chapter, as I said, the Lord made the sea. He blew an east wind all night and He made the sea pile up on two sides. And he took and he blew the wind across the dry ground overnight, so that when Israel passed across, they passed across on dry ground. They didn't even get their shoes muddy. Imagine that. They didn't even get their shoes muddy. They're crossing the ocean. God parts the sea, and they're walking across on dry ground. Water on both sides. And that took some faith too. You saw the... once again, I love Brother Michael's bulletin cover. Yeah, but can you imagine walking through and there's walls of water on both sides? That took some faith to even go down in there. Right? So they take off and they walk through on dry ground, and the Egyptians, they begin to chase after them. Still, the concept has not caught up with Pharaoh that God is God. So he takes off after them. He gets to the sea and he goes down in the sea chasing them, and the waters are still parted. And you know, one of the funniest things in that whole chapter, it just makes me smile. It says, God took the wheels off their chariots. Literally. Literally, God knocked the wheels off their chariots. And so they're dragging their little wheelless wagons around in the middle of the Red Sea. And then God caused the wind to cease. And that wall of water that stood on both sides covered the Egyptian armies. And Israel found the bodies of those soldiers drowned on the seashore later on. But you know what? God delivered Israel. And the idea there is that that was to produce a life-changing conviction. Look in verse 31, please. It says, at the end of this chapter, it says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Israel saw the great work of the Lord. Now, there's a big lesson in that. It's not that God just delivered them. They saw the mighty hand of God. They saw what God had done. And what I want you to get is that you need to back up and look at what God is doing and what He has done. Okay? When we come out of that Red Sea experience, when we come out on the other side, we're like, oh, boy, I'm glad that's over. But it's all gone now. Things are all better and it's all good. No. You missed the point of the whole experience. You know why God carried them through the Red Sea? To build their faith. And so that they could see the mighty power of the God that they served. When you go through the Red Sea experience, and you cry, God, please help me, get me out of this. And God responds, He's not just getting you out of that because He wants you out of that. He's not just getting you out of that to relieve the pressure, even though He loves you, He cares about what you're going through. He's getting you out of that, and you're seeing His mighty hand so that in the future, you'll know you serve a God that you can trust and count on. Okay? Israel, take the time to see what God is doing in your life. Israel saw the work of the Lord. The people feared the Lord. There was a new reverence for God in the nation of Israel. I want to tell you, when you go through those impossible circumstances and God delivers you, and you know that it's the mighty hand of God and there's nothing else that'll explain it, you come to realize how small you are and how big God is. Isn't it awesome that we serve a big God? That there's nothing, nothing that God cannot do. The people feared the Lord. And then finally, the people believed. Now, I want you to think of the profound meaning of that statement. They had a new confidence. They had saw firsthand what God was capable of and what God was willing to do on their behalf. So from that point forward, and now remember, I told you they wind up in remedial training, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they don't get the lesson. But this is a really good lesson. And we'll come along to the point that we'll say, how could these people be so silly? How could they not see what God has done? How could this, how could they refuse to listen to God? Well, they're just like we are. They forget way too soon. They disregard what God has done way too soon. But at this point, it says the people believed. Meaning they had a confidence in their God. Did you know that most battles are won or lost from the inside? Did you know that? Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That heart better be focused on God if you're going to face the challenges of this life. That heart better be geared, and it better be watching the hand of God as He delivers. Because Miss Ruby and I were talking this week, and I've said before, you're either going through a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into another one. What you learn from this challenge that you may go through right now, you're going to need again. If you weren't, God wouldn't be teaching you. Okay? The idea of this experience was to grow the children of Israel. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you more solid now than you were 5 years ago? Do you have a greater confidence, a greater prayer life, a greater study life? Do you have a better relationship with God than you did 5 years ago? If not, you're not learning. You're not. Circumstances come and we worry and we're overwhelmed and we whine and we complain and God, get me out of this, and God delivers us and we never stop to take the time to look. Wow, God really is awesome. God really is awesome. The idea behind this is the bigger the challenge, the greater the hand of God you will see. And the greater the hand of God you see, the greater your faith should become. That's the idea. How's it working? Are you growing? Are you learning? If not, my prayer is today that we'll do a refocus. That we'll refocus and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look at the deliverance He's provided. Look at the great things He's done in this church and in your life. And that you'll just stop and let God teach you. I've often thought of today, the teachers in our modern schools. I've thought they don't pay them nearly enough. Because some kids are hard to deal with. None of our kids, of course. Some kids are really tough to deal with, right? They refuse to be taught. They don't want to learn. They don't want to sit still. Folks, are you learning? If not, today's a day of change. Time to start the journey. Time to begin. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, I would just beg you, share with you that Jesus Christ died on Calvary to pay for your sin debt. He died so that you could live. And He said, if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you. He will. Will you be saved today? Will you call upon Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you've been, fighting impossible situations. When you just need to come to the altar, give it to God, and then back up and watch what He does. We serve a powerful God. A powerful God. Let Him be God in your life. Our Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You that You are an awesome God. You're the God that parts seas. You're the God for which nothing is impossible. And Lord, when we consider Your greatness, we're reminded how small we really are and how dependent we are upon You. So today we come to You, seeking Your guidance, seeking, Lord, Your deliverance for those who are in impossible circumstances, seeking Your strength so that we may face whatever this life and whatever old Satan throws at us, for Your honor and for Your glory. And Lord, most of all, we pray for the lost in this service, that today will be the day they come to You for salvation. In Jesus' name.